This episode is provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis, based on the most relevant LinkedIn posts about Google Cloud Summit DACH 2026. Frenis has built a sovereign cloud market radar for ICT providers with weekly hot news, monthly reports, quarterly leadership presentations, and AI podcasts for field teams. You can find more info in the description.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine an autonomous system that doesn't just, you know, draft an email for you, but actually analyzes a live weather report, cross-references it with your SAP supply chain data,
right,
identifies a typhoon that's disrupting your tier two suppliers, and then instantly reroutes your inventory across three different continents.
Which sounds totally like a sci-fi pitch. Right?
Exactly. It sounds like sci-fi, but all without a human ever clicking a single button.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what top companies in the DACH region are literally putting into production right now.
Yeah, it's wild.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are tearing into this massive stack of curated LinkedIn posts from ICT and tech professionals who just walked out of the Google Cloud Summit DACH 2026 in Frankfurt.
Yeah. And, you know, scrolling through the reactions from the people who are actually building this infrastructure, the energy shift is just undeniable.
Oh, absolutely.
Like for ICT professionals, the tone of the tech community has fundamentally changed. I mean, Luca Caligari, the managing director of Google Cloud DACH, he stated at the event that the industry has officially moved from the era of eventually to the era of immediately.
The era of immediately. I like that.
Right. And that perfectly captures the mood in these posts. Everyone is just like getting to work.
So I guess the mission for this deep dive is to sort of cut through the vendor noise, right? And look at the ground level reality. We want you, the listener, to understand exactly how leading enterprises are moving past the hype.
Past all those endless proof of concept.
Yeah, endless posseus. Moving past them and into production grade, sovereign agentic execution. Because almost every post from the summit made one thing crystal clear. The chatbot era is dead.
It is so dead. The new standard is agentic AI. We are no longer talking about systems that merely, you know, generate text or write a nice poem. We're talking about autonomous agents that actually execute complex workflows across enterprise software.
Which is a huge jump.
Huge. And what's fascinating here is just the sheer velocity of this transition in the real world. We saw some incredible insights shared about Delivery Hero, for example.
Oh, I saw that post from Nihal Shah, right?
Yeah, Nihal Shah and Mario S. They demonstrated how they deployed AI agents into production in just 114 days.
Wait, hold on. 114 days.
Yeah, 114 days.
Frankly, 114 days to production for an enterprise of that scale seems, well, almost suspiciously fast to me. I mean, how does an ICT team actually build and deploy something that touches millions of customers without, you know, completely breaking their core infrastructure?
It sounds risky.
Are we talking about some massive monolithic AI system they just shoved in there?
No, no. And that's actually the secret to their speed. They aren't building a monolithic brain at all. They build what they call the CX Agent Studio.
CX Agent Studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a modular architecture. So they are using smaller, highly specialized language models that are tightly integrated, like via APIs, into their existing customer service platforms.
Ah, okay. So it's plug and play.
Exactly. Instead of trying to train one massive model on literally everything, the agent uses Ariki retrieval augmented generation to pull the exact policy needed for a specific customer issue.
Right.
It makes a decision based on that tiny slice of context and then triggers an API call to resolve it. And that modularity, that's how they are resolving millions of customer contacts right now.
That makes way more sense from an architectural standpoint. And, you know, they aren't just using it for customer experience either.
No.
I read that their finance teams are using agentic AI to autonomously generate executive summaries and really complex variance analyses.
Yeah, which is traditionally a total nightmare for finance teams.
Right. They are literally taking that brutal manual end of month reporting cycle and just handing the data extraction and synthesis over to an agent.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And the scale of deployment across the board is shifting dramatically. It's no longer just like a specialized tool for developers or data scientists locked in the basement somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Signal Iduna. According to posts highlighting Patrick Darby and Nut Zengerling, they rolled out Gemini Enterprise to their entire workforce.
The entire workforce.
A whole company. They completely democratized AI access.
Which is a huge structural shift. I mean, let's look at Martin Geisler's perspective from Bosch, too.
Oh, yeah. The Bosch use case is wild.
They are scaling AI to 100,000 employees.
100,000.
He noted that Bosch treats agentic AI not as an IT rollout, but as a massive organizational change project that just happens to be powered by tech.
Yeah, exactly.
But I have to play devil's advocate here for a second.
Sure, go for it.
Every major software deployment gets called an organizational change project by leadership. It's like classic corporate speak. So what are they actually doing differently with those 100,000 employees?
Okay, it's a very fair pushback. But the difference here is that think about a traditional IT rollout, like migrating to a new ERP system.
Right. Everyone hates that.
Right. But that just requires teaching employees to click new buttons in a new interface. It's still the same basic task. Agentic AI requires teaching employees to fundamentally redesign their own workflows.
Oh, I see.
So the change management at Bosch is really about shifting the workforce mindset from how do I do this task manually to how do I orchestrate an agent to do this task for me?
So it's a shift from execution to management.
Exactly. It's like we've upgraded from a really smart dictionary that just answers your questions to a digital intern who actually fills out the paperwork, files it, and emails the client.
Okay, I love the digital intern analogy, but that actually raises a massive operational red flag for me.
Oh.
Well, a digital intern is great, but if my physical intern has access to the wrong filing cabinets, they're going to send the wrong, maybe confidential files to the client.
Oh, totally.
So if we empower agents to execute tasks autonomously across an enterprise, how do we ensure they aren't pulling, you know, outdated pricing data or just straight up hallucinating inventory numbers?
And that operational red flag you just raised, that is exactly why the conversation at the summit instantly pivoted to the fuel source for these agents, which is data.
Data, right.
Yeah. An agent is only as reliable as the business context it can instantly access. If your data layer is messy, the agent's actions won't just be wrong, they will be catastrophic at machine speed.
Yeah, executing bad decisions 10,000 times a minute.
Exactly. You cannot have non-deterministic AI models running enterprise workflows without highly deterministic, rock-solid data foundations.
So the focus kind of has to shift away from the flashy AI models themselves and back to the data engineering underneath.
Precisely. And this is why the Schwartz Group presentation by Mark Fabian Mesger and Matthias Ulig got so much traction in the ICT community.
Oh, I saw people raving about that one.
Yeah, they showcased how highly structured data and rigorous, continuously validated testing frameworks are just the absolute baseline for their agentic document processing.
Right.
They are running continuous automated testing on the data inputs before the agent is even allowed to touch the document.
Guardrails. And I noticed a massive emphasis on integrating this directly into the SAP ecosystem, too.
Oh, absolutely.
It seems like AI isn't just being like bolted onto the side of the enterprise as an afterthought anymore. It's being wired directly into the operational core.
It has to be. Take Cortex 7, which was heavily discussed at the summit. They are merging SAP data with Google AI to build truly resilient supply chains. The AI is constantly reading the live SAP ledger to predict bottlenecks before they even happen. And we also saw Deutsche Telekom successfully migrating their legacy SAP systems to the cloud.
And didn't they see a massive efficiency bump from that?
Huge. By modernizing that data foundation, they actually saved 40% in energy costs. So the modern data foundation isn't just an enabler for AI, it's driving massive operational efficiency all on its own.
Right. And you see this impacting the end consumer directly, too. I mean, Mike Hull-Burke posted about OTTU's conversational product search.
Oh, yeah.
That is a prime example of AI moving directly into the retail shopping experience. But, you know, think about the mechanism there.
Like the plumbing.
Yeah, the plumbing. An agent finding the right product in a split second relies entirely on a real-time data pipeline. Because if the vector database that's powering the AI isn't syncing instantly with the live inventory API,
then the agent is going to recommend a product that is out of stock.
Exactly. And then it becomes worse than useless, right? It actively damages the brand trust.
That's spot on. The intelligence is functionally limited by the latency of the data pipeline underneath it.
But okay, here's an observation shared by attendees like Daniel Herr that I thought completely flipped the script on this whole data thing.
Okay, what was it?
For years, we've been told that data fragmentation and data silos were the biggest roadblocks to AI adoption.
Right, the classic, we need to clean our data first argument.
Exactly. But at this summit, the sentiment was that AI agents are actually becoming the cure for data silos.
Let's unpack that. How are agents curing the silos?
Well, think back to the scenario I mentioned at the very beginning of this deep dive.
The Typhoon one.
Yeah, the semiconductor use case they discussed at the event. They deployed an agent that simultaneously analyzed SAP master data, CRM data from Salesforce, and live meteorological updates.
Wow, all at once.
All at once. It used all of those disparate data streams to instantly calculate the impact of a typhoon on their tier two suppliers, identifying exactly who was affected and what the alternate routing options were.
That is nuts.
It breaks down silos instantly. The agent is doing the complex cross-system API querying and cross-referencing that, you know, used to take human analyst days of pulling and joining different Excel reports.
That is a phenomenal example of what we mean by business context. The agent isn't just parsing text, it's actively reasoning across fragmented legacy systems to deliver an immediate, actionable business outcome.
It is incredible, but it does bring up the massive, unavoidable elephant in the room for the DACH region.
Yes. Sovereignty.
Yeah. If we are taking all this hypercritical enterprise data patient records from hospitals, banking ledgers, global supply chain vulnerabilities, and pumping it through US-based hyperscaler AI models, we immediately run into the US Cloud Act.
Yep.
For European ICT providers, digital sovereignty isn't just a buzzword. It is a hard, inflexible legal requirement.
It is the defining constraint for the DACH market. And you could really see it dominating the discussions at the summit. I mean, Google addressed the physical infrastructure side directly.
Right, the data center.
Yeah, highlighting their $5.5 billion investment in Germany through 2029, which includes construction kicking off on new AI data centers in Hanau. So they are physically putting the compute power inside the German borders.
Okay, but let's be real here. Physical location doesn't solve the legal jurisdiction problem.
No, it doesn't.
Just because the server is sitting in Hanau doesn't mean a U.S. intelligence agency can't subpoena the data under the Cloud Act if an American company operates it.
Exactly. Which is why the biggest partnership news of the summit was so critical to the ICT audience. Christoph Ruffner, the CEO of Thales Germany, alongside Mark Bachmann, announced they are launching a legally independent German entity to operate Google Cloud Dedicated.
Okay, hold on. Let me stop you there. For those of us who, you know, don't spend our weekends reading BSI compliance manuals.
Fair enough.
What does a legally independent entity actually mean mechanically? Like, how does that actually stop outside access?
Okay, think of it like renting space in a highly secure building.
Yep.
Google built the building. They provide the physical hardware and the software stack.
Okay.
But Thales Germany owns the only key to the front door. They manage the security cameras, and strict German law dictates who is legally allowed to walk into the lobby. They are fully decoupling the technology from the public Google Cloud.
Ah, I see.
So the day-to-day operations, the identity and access management, the encryption keys, it is all handled exclusively by Thales personnel inside Germany. They are targeting the C3A framework.
And what exactly does C3A mandate?
So the Cloud Computing Compliance Criteria Catalog, specifically the highest tier, mandates absolute structural separation. It ensures that the hyperscaler literally cannot access the customer's plaintext data or operations, even if compelled by a foreign warrant.
Wow.
Yeah, it ensures the data stays strictly within the German legal and operational framework.
So it's not just a policy document they sign, it's a cryptographic and operational barrier.
Yes, exactly. And we are already seeing how this unlocks innovation in highly regulated sectors. Like Professor Jens Scholz from UKSH, the University Hospital Schleswig-Holstein, made a really profound point during a fireside chat.
Oh, what did he say?
He noted that sovereignty and innovation are no longer a contradiction. They are actively deploying AI right at the patient bed today, because this sovereign infrastructure now actually exists to support critical infrastructure requirements.
That's huge for healthcare. Yeah. And it's not just hospitals either. Sebastian Angerstein and his team at AOK Niedersachsen actually won the Google Cloud Innovator Award for building a highly secure, sovereign AI ecosystem for health insurance data.
Mm.
But I do have to ask you a pointed question about this.
Okay, shoot.
Historically in this industry, choosing an air-gapped or strictly sovereign cloud meant you were stuck with technology that was like 2 years out of date.
Oh, absolutely. The sovereign lag.
Right. You sacrifice the cutting edge features for compliance. Are the ICT professionals at this summit actually convinced that this new Thales Google model breaks that historic compromise?
Based on the deep technical sentiment in these posts, yes, they actually are. The feedback indicates that this isn't some watered down legacy version of the cloud. This is the full modern hyperscaler stack, just operated locally.
That is a game changer.
It is. However, while the sovereign cloud solves the legal and compliance side of security, transitioning to an agentic enterprise requires a completely new cybersecurity architecture internally.
Oh, sure.
Because you are now introducing autonomous machine speed actors into your own network.
Right. Because using agents to execute workflows sounds great in a controlled vacuum. But if I'm an enterprise architect and I have thousands of these autonomous digital interns running around my network,
doing whatever they want.
Yeah, executing API calls, writing to databases, sending emails to clients. How do I police them? We used to secure the perimeter to keep hackers out. Now the potential threat, like an agent misinterpreting a prompt and dumping a database, is already inside the house.
The scale of the threat landscape has fundamentally shifted, which is forcing security teams to use AI just to survive. Look at the operational reality shared by Florian Schurfeld from Trivago.
Okay.
He revealed that a security team of just 5 people manages 10,000 alerts daily using Wiz on Google Cloud.
Wait, stop. 5 people handling 10,000 alerts a day.
Yeah, that mathematically doesn't work. That usually leads to massive alert fatigue, where the team just ignores the dashboard until a breach happens. How are they physically doing that?
They are using AI to instantly triage all the noise. The system auto-correlates logs, identifies misconfigurations across their entire cloud footprint, weeds out the false positives, and automatically closes low priority alerts.
Oh, wow.
So it surfaces only the actual verified threats that require human intervention. And through that automation, those 5 people achieve 0 critical vulnerabilities.
That is wild. So with concepts like Google's AI threat defense, which Ola Noah talked about, we are essentially deploying security agents.
Yeah, exactly.
We have digital security guards hunting threats and misconfigurations at machine speed.
Right.
They're using agents to police the agents.
That's the operational reality now.
Yeah.
But you also need structural governance at the architectural level. Senivasan Devasanan from Commerce Bank detailed a really fascinating strategy to tame what he called agentic AI sprawl. Agentic AI sprawl. I love that term because, I mean, if marketing builds an agent and HR builds an agent and finance builds an agent,
it's chaos.
Yeah. Suddenly you have shadow IT on steroids and the software is actively making decisions. How does a highly regulated bank stop that? Are they just limiting who can use the API?
No. And that's the key. They aren't restricting the innovation. They are enforcing the architecture. Commerce Bank is scaling AI responsibly by implementing 3 specific layers.
Which are?
An agent registry, an AI gateway, and a strict classification system. So think of the agent registry like an employee ledger for code. A department cannot just deploy a multi-agent system into the wild.
Right.
That system has to be officially registered, given an identity token, and its permissions are hard-coded into the AI gateway.
Ah, so if the marketing department's agent suddenly tries to query the HR payroll database, the AI gateway instantly blocks the API call based on strict identity and access management policies.
Exactly. They are proving that banking innovation must adapt to the governance framework, not the other way around. You really need a centralized ledger of every autonomous entity in your network.
That makes complete sense. And it leads perfectly into how this changes the way software is actually built in the first place. There was a massive shift in developer culture discussed at the summit by Matt Thompson. He called it shift down engineering.
Yes, shift down. The traditional siloed cycle of develop, deploy, and operate is just collapsing into a single seamless motion.
Right. We saw multiple posts talking about product managers vibe coding.
Vibe coding. Still getting used to that phrase.
I know. Wait, they literally call it vibe coding. It sounds ridiculous, but they are literally using natural language AI to rough out code and system concepts, shrinking the development cycle from 3 months of endless meetings and debating specs down to just 3 weeks of actual building.
Yeah.
And Povelis Bauja from Delivery Hero showcased Herogen, which completely blew my mind. It is a multi-agent system that autonomously takes engineering work from a Jira ticket directly to a pull request.
And think about the mechanism of a multi-agent system doing that. It's not just one big bot that does everything.
Right.
A Jira ticket comes in. One agent parses the requirements. It hands that to a second agent that writes the actual function. A third agent writes the unit test for that function.
Wow.
And a fourth agent reviews the code against the company's repository guidelines before creating the pull request. So the human developer is no longer just writing syntax, they are orchestrating a system of specialized agents that write, test, and deploy the code for them.
It's a total paradigm shift for ICT providers. So what does this all mean for you, the listener? I mean, if we synthesize everything we've pulled from this massive stack of Summit insights, what is the ultimate takeaway from Frankfurt?
The core message is that the proof of concept phase is dead. In 2026, enterprise value is defined by a very specific three-part intersection. It is the intersection of agentic workflows that autonomously execute tasks, highly trusted deterministic data foundations that provide flawless business context, and uncompromising digital sovereignty that ensures you legally and operationally own your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
If your architecture is missing any one of those three pillars, you simply cannot scale in the modern enterprise environment.
It's no longer about experimenting, it's about execution, which leaves you with something highly provocative to ponder. Several posts highlighted the rapid rise of agent-to-agent or A2A communication powered by frameworks like the Model Context Protocol or MCP.
Oh yeah, MCP is huge.
For context, MCP allows different AI models to securely connect and share context across different data sources. We are entering a world where your company's AI agents will seamlessly negotiate, cross-reference inventory, and trade data with your supplier's AI agents in real time, completely autonomously.
It is a profound shift in how B2B commerce and data exchange will function at a structural level.
Exactly. So as humans increasingly move out of the execution loop and become pure orchestrators of these autonomous systems, you have to ask yourself a fundamental question about your architecture.
Yeah.
Are you still designing your IT infrastructure as a workspace for your human employees? Or are you actively preparing it to be an optimized, highly governed environment for your new digital workforce?
It completely reframes what enterprise architecture even means moving forward.
It really does. The digital interns are already in the building and they're ready to get to work.
Absolutely.
If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also check out our other editions on ICT and tech, digital products and services, artificial intelligence, cloud insights, sustainability and green ICT, defense tech, and health. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive, and don't forget to subscribe. Catch you on the next one.